You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
Leo Sayer, and When I Need You, taking us back to 1976. Bringing us up to the present, that is 12 minutes past four. It's time for us to chat to Odette Butcher on another of the series, A Digital Transformation on Air. And today she is going to speak to us about things related to marketing strategies, digital marketing strategies. Hello, Odette.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
You listen, don't that you dad me. Listen, I was nervous. I was really very... You walked into the studio here, and the first thing you did was start taking clothes off.
I know. I told you, it's my hormones.
Your hormones. And then I thought, okay, but you did stop. I mean, yeah.
Yes, so first it's the traffic.
The traffic. You see, I waved at you yesterday. You were going for your run. You had your headband on and everything. And you were going for, I just about wrote my van off trying to wave to you, completely ignored me. I thought, what have I done to offend my child?
I was focusing on crossing the road. Our roads are dangerous.
Our roads are dangerous.
Yes, they are. I'm worried about that, not COVID.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. Glad to be back here talking about my favorite subject.
Yes. So digital marketing strategy explained.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, in all these different environments that we find ourselves navigating through, there's quite a lot of, you know, terminology that's thrown around that we kind of know a little bit about. We just feel a bit vague, but maybe we're too scared to actually even go and Google or ask the question, what does digital marketing strategy actually mean? Because we do hear it often within our environment. And as business owners or working within a corporation, you would hear it being referred to often enough. And I just thought today maybe we could make it simple.
Good.
For everybody, because that's the whole point.
Especially for people like me.
Totally. And the more we demystify things.
I love the way you just said that, totally. You know, like
absolutely.
Yeah, like I'm a Dumbo now. Okay.
No, you're not, actually. Yeah. You know your stuff.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
All right.
You do. So here we go.
Here we go.
Today we're going to be unpacking and simplifying the terminology that we often hear, digital marketing strategy. What does it mean? It is a set of planned actions performed online to reach specific business goals. In simple terms, this means performing consistent actions at the right time via the most suitable online channels to increase revenue and improve relationships with your audience. The complexity of a digital marketing strategy primarily depends on the size of your business and your long-term goal. If you have just launched your business, you may only need to make a few simple steps using one or two digital channels. And I think all too often, especially when I listen to the newbies who've just bought online shops, etc., as we think we need to be doing everything, and actually we don't. And I wish I had known that 17 years ago when I started. We can be quite hard on ourselves as new business owners, thinking that we need to have everything in place overnight. You don't. So let's discuss why you should plan your digital marketing activities and why you actually need a digital marketing strategy. Firstly, it motivates you to learn more. That's why we have these sessions, and that's why COVID gave us the opportunity to upskill ourselves, and we don't want to get left behind again. It provides real data that you can actually do something with. It structures your actions. It helps to increase return on investment because obviously you can read the data and make the necessary changes. And it helps you to reconsider your relationships with the audience. Or your relationship with the audience. Generally, making a strategy helps you move more consciously and thus more confidently no matter what you do. And the more I think about it, this we can apply to everything. In business, if we don't have a goal or a strategy or a focus, we actually have no idea what we're doing. And also often, I don't know if it's only me, but as a business owner, you just find yourself aimlessly floundering or just coping, winging it, when if you just had a strategy, a goal, and a focus in place, you would just have a lot more structure and just know where you're going.
Well, they say if you don't have that strategy, you can end up anywhere and that'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Instead of where you need to do some things need to be done on purpose and not by accident.
Intentionally, yes. Yeah. So when it comes to digital marketing, building a strategy can help you in the following ways. And I'm not going to go through everything. I'm just going to focus on the top points. It motivates you to learn more. When you start to develop a digital marketing plan, you need to think through every aspect of your business. And that's important, to be thinking of every part of the business and where the breaks could be and how to fix them. It provides real data. During the analysis and after turning your strategy into action, you will get a lot of comprehensive data about what works well for your brand and what doesn't. Mm. And then you can perform the fixes and experiment. And we hear that often as well, but yet we're quite scared of experimenting. Mm. I think that kind of stops, you know, as a child or as a teenager, but like smiling, there's a time when it just stops and diminishes. Mm. I feel it's the same with experimenting. We almost become terrified of the failures that come as a result of experimenting. Mm. And it's very important. It structures your actions. So developing a digital marketing strategy avoids the chaos of making blind guesses that you have to make without having a plan. And you mentioned that earlier. In terms of helping to increase return on investment, once your actions are structured, you make fewer actions and fewer mistakes. With a well-crafted plan, you'll be able to detect your weaknesses, predict problems, and quickly react. You will save time, money, and efforts to increase margins as a result.
Yeah, I think it's important that people understand when you're talking strategy, you're talking one thing. When you're talking planning, you're talking something completely different. And I've often used the analogy that if your goal in your strategy, your plan and strategy is to end up in Johannesburg, okay, leaving from Cape Town, that's the strategy. That's the overall goal. That's the overall strategy. The action plan is something completely different, because that determines I'm going to stop here to put fuel in. I'm going to stop there overnight.
Like the project plan.
Yeah. And I'm going to then put fuel in at this place. And, you know, that plan is more detailed. The strategy is more like an overview of the direction you want to take and the end result you want to achieve.
Yes. So it's very high level.
Yes.
So after this conversation, another time you might talk about a digital marketing plan.
Yes, which would be a different thing. Basically. To achieve the overall objective, because too many people confuse the two.
Yes.
And they start thinking that, you know, the plan and they can't differentiate the steps within. And
so first comes the strategy, then comes the planning.
Correct.
And we can do that next time we meet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll shut up now.
You're actually very clever.
Hey?
You see, I've got to know my stuff, because you keep me on my toes.
Yeah.
So it helps to also reconsider your relationships with the audience. A digital marketing strategy gives you a fresh look at your communication with prospects and customers during all the stages of the buyer's journey. And so now that you know what a digital marketing strategy is, we can move on to the planning next time we meet. But I'm very visual, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I have just discovered my new, like, I have a new obsession with Pinterest. You ever been on Pinterest?
No.
I'm like,
Should I?
Well, I don't know.
What is Pinterest?
Well, Pinterest is basically, it's like an Instagram, but it's more like it's very pictorial. It's very visual. Mm. To my knowledge, I don't think there's videos on Pinterest. It's just images. And then you would create pin boards with different themes. So for me, I love courtyard gardening, or trail running, or, you know, it might be baking or whatever it is. So you make a pin board, and anything that you find on other people's feeds that really interests you, and it's all picture related, you would then add it to a specific pin board, and that's how you categorize what you have found. But I never thought that Pinterest would be a great place to find infographics, diagrams, and picture explanations of digital marketing, search engine optimization, e-commerce, drop shipping, online advertising. And I've discovered this on Pinterest, and I just can't stop. So I know we're on the radio and you can't see, but I'm just showing you what I had found, which to me, as someone who's very visual, I just saw this and I got the concept of digital marketing strategy. It's literally an infographic of how it works all together on one A4 with just lots of images and pictures and arrows. But it's simple, though.
It almost looks like a mind map.
Yes. So if there's anyone listening who struggles to process information through, I think they call it auditory learning, or, you know, reading through sight, I like a combination of both. And I wish we had a lot more of these when I was at school, because I think I would have been a straight A student. I just saw this and I got the message.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll ask you to leave that with us and we can scan it and we'll add that image to the podcast so people can see exactly what it is that you just showed me.
Sure, if you're able to do that, it's great. I mean, I just think at a high level, it just shows here, you know, goals and objectives. It helps you identify your customers. Really important to identify our competitors who can really help us build our digital marketing strategy and get an idea of who our customers are. The importance of deciding roles, which person within your team is going to be responsible for what. And then what I love as well in this image is that it actually has all of the channels around the image that you can choose from. So maybe for a big business, you would be choosing all of them. You would be doing email marketing, mobile marketing, content marketing, social media, search engine optimization, and search engine marketing. But if you're a small business, you might just start with one or two, or maybe just one social media platform. And you might think about doing email marketing, maybe those just those two channels. And perhaps you would consider looking at optimizing your website so that it's found on Google when people are searching. So that would be search engine marketing. So it's just nice. You can make it as complex or as simple as you want it to be, dependent on what you can manage and the size of your business.
And your objectives.
And your objectives. Yeah.
Let me have a look at that image. I'm just going to try and do a description of it. So what we've got is we've got this sort of cloud image in the middle, and it says digital marketing strategy. And scattered around the edges are all these different channels that include goals and objectives, identify your customers, identify your competitors, decide the role, SOE and SEM. What is that?
SEO, search engine optimization, and search engine marketing.
Okay. Social media, which includes things like Twitter, Pinterest. Apparently, I should look at Pinterest,
yes,
according to Jan. Jan says, look at, you have to go on Pinterest, Richard. It's addictive.
No, it is. I've become obsessed, but not for recipes and making cupcakes.
Uh-huh.
It's literally about everything to do with digital marketing. It's incredible.
All right, well, there we go. We're going to have a look at that. And then content marketing, mobile marketing, and email marketing. And, of course, there's the measurement factor. It's a very, very good graphic, and it does outline everything just the way it – and for some people who are visual, that is an incredible mind – I would call that a mind map.
Yes.
Yes. So all of those things that are scattered around there, those are part of the action plan, or do those elements become part of your strategy when you're putting it up?
So this is all part of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week we would chat, the next time I see you, we would actually talk about the planning, which, like you said earlier, it's literally the step-by-step of what's going to happen. So this is the super high-level view.
So you're saying, I want a digital marketing strategy. I'm going to use this, this, and this.
Yes.
That's your overview.
This is the overview.
Then after that, you're going to break down each into, this is how I'm going to do
the plan.
Marketing by email. This is how I'm going to use Pinterest. And you would break that down, and then you would look at what you, then even further, you would break it down and say, my plan is to do this within that channel.
Yes, and I think also what makes sense to me is identifying all of the goals and objectives, but also, like we tend to talk about in a lot of our session, is knowing our audience.
Mm.
And it's amazing how many people actually don't know who their audience is. They have no idea. And so the first place to start is with your competitors. So go and have a look at your competitors' Facebook pages, Twitter pages. Go and have a look and try to profile, actually go in and profile their followers, and you'll get a very good idea of who your target audience is most likely to be.
And understand them.
Yes. Mm. And then, of course, there are tools that one can use as well. It's quite pricey. Mm. But I know for, you know, $199 a month, I have access to a tool called SEMrush. Mm. And basically, it's a legitimate spying tool that you would use to you actually input all of your competitors' domain names in there. Mm. And it shows you all of their keywords. Mm. And it shows you, you know, where they are, how they're ranking, and you can extract a lot of information out of that data, which will be a lot faster than doing it from the front end, if you know what I mean. So there are tools that you can use for that as well. But
what
I think
it called?
It's called SEMrush.
SEMrush.com. Okay.
Search engine marketing, as in SEM, rush.com. Mm. And it's a great way to find incredible insight into how your website is performing with your competitors, who your competitors are, how they're performing with others, and how to take them down.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. We discussed that in the new year. Mm. But I think also in doing all of this, to always remember how to be a trend setter within a trend. Mm. We were talking about that within TikTok. So yes, don't copy your competitors.
Yeah.
See what they are doing and how you can improve on that.
And do something different.
With your digital marketing strategy. But it will give you a good indication of who your audience is most likely to be if you're struggling to find out who your audience is.
It could also tell you your audience isn't, and then you can adjust your strategy accordingly. Because you may think that your audience is a certain category of people. And when you do this analysis, you find out, well, hang on, maybe if I'm talking to these people about this, I'm talking to the wrong people.
Yes, and it's interesting there as well. Like, I think it's really crazy, but you know what I mean when I say limiting beliefs? It's incredible how, like, scarcity and a limiting belief mindset, a limiting belief mindset also comes through in terms of who we think our audience is. Mm. We limit ourselves and think, oh, it's only, you know, people like me, you know, my race and my age and in my village who might like my stuff. And I'm like going, well, no, think broader, think bigger, think beyond the borders of SA.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's so many people, I'm sure, if you have a good product and not a rubbish one, who would really like to buy your product. And I just think we almost doubt ourselves that there's this whole group of niche people out there who want to buy our product or book our service.
Yeah, I think that a global niche is certainly going to be way bigger than a Valley niche or a Cape Town niche or a South African niche. So, you know, if your offering is you're able to ship it outside of the borders, then you should be looking at that, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, I was chatting to somebody who's looking to sell a specific type of device, and it would definitely lend well more with people who are holistic and alternative, okay? So we were looking at that little group of people, and I was like, no, there's a much bigger group than this. Mm. And he was like, no, it's only this. I said, no. Think about all the new moms, all the people with like young children who'd be interested in this device. It basically absorbs and deflects the EMF, you know, radiation from devices and stuff. And then automatically you have this whole new group. I mean, there's millions of people in SA who are pregnant or, you know, about to have a baby or have newborns and stuff. Mm. And yet this, you know, don't just think kind of tunnel. Too often we just think, oh, no, only this little group would want our product. But you might be surprised of all the other pockets of people who would love the product that you sell.
Yeah, because very often we – I think a lot of that has to do with how much people are prepared to invest in their business and growth and money. I think that one of the biggest, just my view, one of the biggest risks any business faces is growing too big too soon. And because that can cash trap you.
For sure.
And it can impact on your cash flow and a whole host of other things. Infrastructure, if you're not set up for that. And again, we come back to strategy. Yes, I want to be a global player in this holistic device.
Yes.
But that's the strategy and that's the overview. That's the end goal. It comes back to the important part of the plan. First, I want to make sure that I establish myself here in the Deep South.
Yes.
Then I want to establish myself in Cape Town.
Yes.
Then I want to establish myself throughout the country and build that way.
Yes.
And not be tempted by
big dollar signs.
Yeah, chasing that. You'd have your goal, but don't try and achieve it too soon.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. And baby steps are very important.
You know why? Because for me, I just keep seeing a building being built.
Mm.
And I always look when they lay a slab.
Mm.
And then I think it's steel that they put in the slab.
Mm.
And then they build the bricks. And then the next thing goes on. And that's how I like to do business.
Mm.
Sure, it's maybe a very long approach. But that to me is, it's longevity. Like I grew up in a family business and I know all the business books that one reads, quite often they encourage like, you know, when you spin properties and you spin businesses quickly, that is not me. That's not my way.
Mm.
But I'm sure that that obviously works as well.
Mm.
But for me, I like to focus on a good solid foundation and then just build it up from there. But it's also what I could manage with.
Mm. And what you can, well, what
financially, and also my, I only have one set of hands.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The infrastructure is very, very important. But again, it comes back. We are talking about a digital strategy and you can, because In a brick and mortar business where you say buying and selling an item or you're building an item or something like that, you can be overwhelmed quite easily. But that's a different type, and it's easier to resist that. So if you've got a business that's making widgets and all of a sudden you get an order, you're making on average 20 widgets a month, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get an order in for 200 widgets. You can walk away from that knowing that I can't afford the raw materials, I don't have the people to produce it, I'm not going to be able to satisfy this order, and I'm going to do myself more harm than good by pursuing it. I'm not ready for that yet. It's easy to make that decision. But when you're coming to digital marketing, where most of the stuff is free, you can get yourself into easily get yourself down a road where you can bite off more than you can chew unless your strategy is solid. And your action plan that we're going to speak about in the future is getting you to that point.
And your product is good.
Yeah. Well, we assume that the product is.
Yeah.
We assume that the product is. But it, the scary thing is that unless you've got that digital strategy and that plan in mind, you can run down. We just looked on that sheet of paper.
It's just aimless, isn't it?
There's plenty that you can choose from. The question is, how to choose the right one.
Yeah, and spend money, fortune on all the wrong ones.
Yeah, and so, your strategy is going to dictate that.
Yes.
So it's important to do that analysis.
So next time I see you, we'll talk about the planning.
Well, next time I see you, I hope when I wave to you, wave back.
Yes, well, I don't want to get hit by a car when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I was concentrating. I'm sorry, Dad.
Yeah. All right, so that's it, folks. Now, here's the thing. You see, we can only talk about so much in these sessions, and there's a whole lot more to this topic that Odette can unpack, a whole lot more. And she really just gives us the mountaintop view on these topics. If you are serious about your business and you want to find out more, look at how you put that strategy together in more detail, and you're not sure how to do that.
Or improve what you have already.
Yeah,
improve. It probably just needs to be optimized.
Yes. Then get hold of her. That is the best way to do it. Sit down and have a chat to her. It's Zone Radio. We're busy working with Odette already. She's fixed up the Google My Business, which is very nice. And the other things that we need to do.
Your shops.
And our website and all that kind of stuff. And we're working with her. And I want to tell you what, it's paying benefits. It really is. So get hold of her. You've got that whole sort of one number contacts you on everything kind of scenario.
Just WhatsApp is the easiest for everybody.
Yeah, and that number is 084-811-9163. Give her a call, have a chat to her, send her a WhatsApp, and see where that conversation goes. Because if you don't have the conversation with her, then you might be, chasing your tail. And you may save yourself a whole lot of money. So don't be penny wise and pound foolish and say, oh, well, I may have to pay for the service. anything worthwhile is worth paying for, as far as I'm concerned. Hello. Here's Odette. Here's not Odette. Here is Lizelle. She says, nice show. Listening all the way from Lurisfontein. That's Lizelle from Angels Resources. Yes. So do that. And then you can, you know, sort of catch her between runs and she'll. What are you training for? You don't know. You haven't got a strategy, Odette.
My strategy, yes, I know. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah.
You haven't Every race that I want to do keeps being cancelled. So I'm thinking of going to either Uganda to do a really long trail run there and to see the gorillas, or to go to Rwanda to see the gorillas. There's a peace marathon in Rwanda that I won't be ready for. That's in May. Mm. But I think I may just go and see the gorillas this year. But I'm dying to go do a big run, but something special.
So you go for a run and during your run, how's it gorilla?
Yeah, high five them.
High five the gorilla while you're trotting along with there your bandana on. Is that how it works?
No, not quite.
Not quite.
I think they're very, very protected. So
they are.
Yeah.
And so they should be.
Exactly. So they've actually had a bit of a baby boom, which was quite nice to read. Mm. I think they had seven new babies at the beginning of the year. And scientists were like, why and how did this happen? And I'm like going, no tourism.
Yeah.
They're not being disturbed. It's quite simple. They just need to be left alone.
Yeah.
So I think when we do go and do, you know, anything animal related, it needs to be quite responsible. I think they really limit numbers to the park. Which is good, but that will be very special to see.
Okay, so the strategy is to go to Uganda. The action plan is to ignore people while you're running on the side of the road. That's how it works.
I will be looking out for you next time.
No, let's see. Are you doing it to Oceans?
No.
You're not going to do that. You've done that a couple of times, haven't you?
I've done the trail, and I've done the...
Yeah, you're more of a trail runner than a marathon runner.
I really... No, I mean, I love doing the marathon trails, the adventure marathons. Mm. I really struggle on the road. Mm. I don't like the traffic and the crowds. I really love running in the mountains. It's my strategy.
Your strategy to run in the mountains.
It really is.
I was going to ask you this just before you go. You guys that are doing adventure running, you carry like quite a pack with you, don't you? I mean, you carry stuff with you.
It depends what it is that you were doing and if it is self-supported or not. Mm. So generally when I do an adventure marathon, I will just have my water pack with a few little things that you need for the journey. Mm. But there are some races that you do where you carry everything.
Mm. Have you done one of those yet?
No.
Would the Uganda one be like that?
No, I think that's only 50 kilometers.
Only?
Mm.
Yeah.
So that would be complete in a day.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm getting old now. I don't know if I can keep doing those runs.
Look, if you asked me to run 50 kilometers, the answer first up would be no. And if you did hold a gun to my head,
it would still be no.
Probably still be no. But if you brought in like a tank, if you did like a Putin on me, it would probably take...
We should do it together. That would be hilarious. That would be so funny.
No, it wouldn't be.
What would we talk about? We would just drivel the whole time. It would be hilarious.
No, it won't be, because I will be in no mood to talk to anybody, believe me.
That's okay.
These old muscles are done with that now.
No, you could do it, Richard.
Go away, you're starting to...
Okay.
Yeah.
See ya.
Okay.
Bye.
She'll be back in 2 weeks' time chatting to us about things digital. Give her a call, folks, and I will release... somebody just said something here. Let me just see what message just came through. How can one include a strategy for a local product, but for a number of different international markets with different cultures, language, etc.? And that question just came in on the WhatsApp, and I think it came from Guy Weber. Okay, so Guy Weber has asked now. Guy Weber's a winemaker. Okay, so he's asking, how can one include a strategy for the local product, which is cool, but for a number of different international markets with different cultures? So can you have different strategies?
Yes, of course, and it would require a different strategy. That sounds...
And a different action plan.
The more I'm learning with the mistakes I've made is to be specific.
Yeah.
You know, with audiences, with targeting, with advertising, is to avoid being general.
Yeah.
At all costs. It's to identify where your audience is, what they understand, what they relate to, and you focus on them specifically. It's like how I've broken up the gift experiences and the audiences that I have. I've got one audience for proposals. I've got another audience just for anniversary packages. Another audience for people who just like all the motorsports activities. Another audience just for all of the helicopter activities. And then all of the creatives, like the digital creatives that we use, all the targeting, all the ads are set up specific for those audience. I no longer do anything that is general. It does not work.
I think that answers the question. And the thing about that, about a product, if you've got a standard product and the cultures of, the consumption culture, can I use that term, is different. So, you know, you may speak to South Africans and for them it's there's
a colloquialism or something that you would include in your advertising that they'd get. But if you're advertising to Germans French or English or Americans or Canadians, it would be different.
It's you'd be always, saying the same product, but you would be talking about different selling points to them.
For example, take Nando's. We love Nando's or that Love Feltskunner brand. Now try to sell Nando's to, I don't know, the Spanish or people in Croatia. Are they going to get it? No.
No.
Because only South Africans get their advertising.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it does need to be specific based on your audience.
There we go, Guy. I hope that answers the question. And I would, Guy is a very smart man, makes great wine. Hillendale wines.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful wines.
We love wine.
So, Guy, you can get hold of Odette if you like. If you
pay
need
me
the...
in wine.
Yeah. And she's very good at what she does. Thank you for the question. All right. You can go now. I'm done with you. Okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.